On the show today, America reacts to last week's controversial Supreme Court decisions.
I have every confidence that that African Americans and other minority Americans are going to continue to compete and succeed in universities around the country, but we're going to do it with a colorblind society that I think is the aspiration of every American.
Plus, what a new European public opinion poll reveals.
You can interpret it, of course, as a sign that Europeans are not trusting Americans that much as they used to historically.
And later, Nigeria tries to ward off an outbreak of anthrax, and New York City tries something new to decrease traffic congestion. Today is Monday, July 3rd, and this is VOA's International Edition. From VOA headquarters in Washington, I'm Steve Karish. A look at the reaction to recent Supreme Court decisions in a few moments. We begin today, though, with the story of a tragedy in Western Kenya. The AP's Charles Della Desma explains.
Kenyan authorities say a truck has rammed into several other vehicles and market traders in the west of the country, killing over 50 people. The Friday evening accident occurred at a location known for vehicle crashes in the Rift Valley, about 125 miles northwest of the capital, Nairobi. Police Commander Tom Odera has told the Associated Press officers have counted dozens of bodies, but more people are believed to be trapped in the wreckage. The Kenya Red Cross Society says over 30 people were injured and hospitalized and has asked Kenyans to donate blood. The aid group adds heavy rainfall has interrupted rescue efforts. Witnesses quoted by local media say the truck veered off the major highway and hit several vehicles before hitting pedestrians and traders. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Politicians and activists are divided on the potential repercussions of a series of U.S. Supreme Court decisions this past week. While some praised the conservative justices who make up a majority of the 9-member court, others are questioning whether their rulings will hurt some minorities. Veronica Balderas Iglesias reports.
The LGBTQ community, student loan borrowers, and those who could have benefited from race-conscious admission policies at universities are still assessing the potential fallout from last week's decisions by the Supreme Court. Former Vice President Mike Pence, who appeared on the ABC television network, dismissed concerns the end of the affirmative action policy could negatively impact diversity in U.S. colleges and universities.
I have every confidence that that African Americans and other minority Americans are going to continue to compete and succeed in universities around the country, but we're going to do it with a colorblind society that I think is the aspiration of every American.
Activists fighting for racial equity are skeptical. David Hinojosa is with the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law.
We call upon the universities themselves to continue to engage in substantial outreach in recruitment of underserved students. Nothing in this opinion prohibits that.
Separately, President Joe Biden's plan to cancel or reduce federal student loan debts was also overturned by the Supreme Court. Democratic Representative Ro Khanna condemned the move when interviewed on the ABC News show this week.
You have all of these students who have relied on a promise that they are going to have their student loans forgiven. I had to take out $150,000 of student loans. There were times in my life where I had to have a forbearance. I'm fortunate now and been able to pay them off, but this is a real hardship.
The LGBTQ community, according to critics, could be the target of new forms of discrimination after the court's conservative majority sided with a business owner who refused to provide services to same-sex couples. Linda McLean is a law professor at Boston University.
For the majority, you know, the story is, people whose creative expression is being compelled. For the dissent, it's stories of customers trying to get goods and services in the marketplace and being denied.
In Pence's opinion, it was a victory for religious liberty.
That strong conservative majority also affirmed the right of every American to live, to work, to worship according to the dictates of their conscience.
The Supreme Court is now in recess and will resume hearing other cases later this year. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
Following an outbreak of anthrax disease in the West African nation of Ghana, Nigerian authorities have urged citizens to stop eating cooked animal hides. It's a delicacy known as pomo. Gibson Emeka has the story from Abuja, narrated for us today by Salem Solomon.
Modesta Oluchuku, a Nigerian mother of four, is a skilled home cook. Her shopping list always contains food made of cowhide and other skins. Locals call it pomo. But Oluchuku says she has cut down on her favorite protein amid a heightened fear of anthrax, which broke out in northern Ghana, which borders Togo and Burkina Faso. Nigerian health experts are already sounding the alarm that cowhide can carry potentially deadly bacteria.
I've not stopped eating pomo. I'm still using pomo, but not always, because sometimes beef meat used to be expensive, but pomo will be more cheaper, so I have to go for pomo.
Anthrax is found in wild and domestic hoofed animals. Humans are usually exposed to it through handling animals or animal hides. Untreated, it could cause severe illness and even death. The risk of infection is high in Nigeria, where animal hides are a cultural delicacy. Since the outbreak in Ghana, the Nigerian government is doubling efforts to prevent the disease from gaining entrance, says Dr. Regina Adulugba, the Federal Capital Territory Director of Veterinary Services.
We trade with Ghana, so the possibility of coming is very high. Coming to Nigeria is very high, so we need to promptly alert the stakeholders, the livestock dealers, the butchers.
Jabril Mohammed, a cowhide trader, says the demand for pomo in local markets has begun to slow since the government's warning.
I noticed that people have reduced buying pomo, not like before. I think in the last 2-3 weeks now, the patronage is a little bit low now.
Anthrax symptoms include mild cough, fever, muscle aches, and severe lung problems. Although no case has been recorded in Nigeria yet, Dr. Ejike Orji, who speaks on public health matters, has called for caution.
To make sure that people are fully aware and preventive, this thing they should take. And most importantly, to advise people not to eat bush meats and pomo.
Anthrax spore vaccine is the cheapest and easiest way to prevent the disease in livestock. The government is urging farmers to inoculate their animals to prevent the disease from establishing itself in the country. For Gibson Emeka in Abuja, Nigeria, Salem Solomon, VOA News.
And here are some other stories we're following from around the world. Poland said on Sunday it will send 500 police to shore up security at its border with Belarus to cope with rising numbers of migrants crossing, as well as any potential threats after the Wagner group of mercenaries have relocated to Belarus. A cascade of former Cambodian opposition politicians and activists have defected to the ruling Cambodian People's Party ahead of the July 23rd election amid alleged government threats and frustration with Cambodia's political situation. This puts pressure on the country's remaining opposition leaders. Clashes between Sudan's army and the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, the RSF, intensified on Sunday as the war in the country's capital and western regions entered its 12th week with no attempts in sight to bring a peaceful end to the conflict. This is VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists have been finding evidence that elements of the universe are actually connected by filaments made mostly of dark matter and gas. Since this proposed structure of a connected universe resembles a giant spider web, it has become known as the cosmic web. A team of scientists recently used the James Webb Space Telescope to detect a string of the cosmic web from only 830 million years after the Big Bang, some 13 billion years ago. The Space Telescope Science Institute says scientists found a narrow filament that connects 10 galaxies, stretches out to a length of about 3 million light years, and is attached to a bright quasar in an ancient galaxy with an active supermassive black hole at its center. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
From Washington, it's VOA's International Edition. I'm Steve Karish. The latest on the protests in France and the new plan to decrease traffic and pollution in New York City coming up. Now, a large majority of Europeans see Russia as an adversary following its invasion of Ukraine. This according to a survey of 16,000 people across 11 European Union member states. Europeans tend to have a more favorable opinion of China. Henry Ridgewell reports from London.
Almost two-thirds of Europeans now see Russia as an adversary since its invasion of Ukraine, according to the poll by the European Council on Foreign Relations. That's double the figure from 2021. Respondents were also asked about Europe's future relationship with Moscow. About half wanted relations to be limited, but there are variations. Pavel Zerka is lead analyst on European public opinion at the European Council on Foreign Relations.
There are countries like Poland where there is a very strong temptation to cut all the relationship with Russia, even if there is a negotiated peace. While there are countries like Bulgaria or Hungary or Austria, as well as Germany, where there's quite a strong temptation to reestablish fully cooperative relationship with Russia after the war is over.
Some European leaders, notably French President Emmanuel Macron, have called for Europe to develop strategic autonomy, the ability to defend itself independent of the United States. Almost three-quarters of the poll respondents said Europe cannot always rely on the US for its security. Again, Pavel Zerka.
You can interpret it, of course, as a sign that Europeans are not trusting Americans that much as they used to historically. And in this sense, perhaps the presidency of Donald Trump has left a lasting damage to that relationship. But you can also have a more benevolent interpretation, according to which simply due to the war in Ukraine and Russia's invasion on Ukraine, Europeans are more ready right now to take responsibility for their security.
The survey also looked at European attitudes toward China. Again, Pavel Zerka.
People still tend to perceive China as mostly Europe's partner rather than a rival or an adversary, even though a clear majority in every country that we polled recognizes China as Russia's ally.
However, a majority opposed the idea of Chinese ownership of key infrastructure. Roughly 41% of respondents said that if Beijing gave weapons to Russia, the EU should impose sanctions on Beijing, even if that would harm Western economies. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Much has been said about Yevgeny Prigozhin and the Wagner Group, the mercenary army he owns and operates, but what of his media operations? Reuters' Matthew Laratonda reports.
Russian news outlets are reporting that a social media troll factory owned by Yevgeny Prigozhin, the Russian mercenary leader, used to allegedly influence public opinion in the United States and other countries, has been disbanded following the stunning mutiny by Prigozhin and his Wagner Group fighters in Russia last month. The Kommersant, a Russian newspaper, is also reporting that the government's communications watchdog is blocking media outlets linked to Prigozhin without elaborating. On Saturday, Reuters cameras spotted Wagner logos being removed from its corporate offices in St. Petersburg. The building was raided by authorities during the mutiny. It was opened only last year and dubbed a military technology center. The U.S. government and European Union have long accused Prigozhin of funding an organization known as the Internet Research Agency, which Washington says is a troll farm that tried to meddle in the 2016 presidential election. Prigozhin himself has previously admitted to interfering in U.S. elections and that he founded and financed the organization, although the Kremlin has always denied any interference. Separately, a media holding group owned by Prigozhin is said to have been shut down, according to the director of one of the news sites under its umbrella. It gave no reason for the move. The group, called Patriot Media, had a strong nationalist and pro-Kremlin stance that also provided positive coverage of Prigozhin and his mercenaries.
That was Matthew LaRotonda of Reuters reporting. It's been nearly a week since news broke of a police shooting in France that sparked protests in and around Paris. The officer involved said he feared the teen would hit someone with his car, but activists say it was the victim's North African ethnicity that got him killed. VOA's Arash Arabasadi has the latest.
Police and investigators look on as a tow truck extracts a burned-out car from the home of the mayor of a Paris suburb. The mayor said his wife and one of his children were injured in the attack. The Associated Press is reporting French police made more than 700 arrests by Sunday morning in connection with ongoing protests. The arrests and destruction are the latest from clashes in France following the fatal police shooting of a teenager last week after a traffic stop in the Paris suburb of Nanterre. The teenager, identified as Nahel M., was of Algerian descent, and activists say he was killed for his ethnicity, reigniting a long debate in France over ethnic and racial bias in policing. SOS Racisme activist Tracy Lodgy at a demonstration speaking with the Associated Press.
These are the things that happen when you're French but with foreign roots. We're not considered French and they only look at the color of our skin. Where we come from, even if we were born in France, you can't just kill someone for no reason. This has to stop.
Demonstrations quickly began spreading through France after the teen's death, with marchers carrying banners reading Justice for Nahel. The officer alleged to have fired the fatal shot was charged with voluntary homicide and remains in custody. Authorities responded to rioters by deploying tens of thousands of police and security personnel. France's Interior Ministry says scores of police officers have been attacked, with thousands of people arrested, more than 1,300 cars burned, and hundreds of fires reported in buildings. French President Emmanuel Macron addressing the influence of social media in protests as provided by the Associated Press.
Internet platforms and social networks are playing a considerable role in the movements of these past days. We saw on Snapchat, TikTok, and several others both violent gatherings being organized and a sort of copycatting of violence. This, among the youngest, leads to a sort of escape from reality. We sometimes have the feeling some of them are living in the streets of the video games that have intoxicated them.
The United Nations Human Rights Office issued a statement saying this is a moment for France to seriously address the deep issues of racism and discrimination in law enforcement. It is unclear after the dip in arrests and violence what comes next in France. Nahel's funeral was on Saturday. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Traffic congestion is a big problem in cities large and small all over the world. New York City is adopting a new approach that has been successful in other countries, but charging a congestion fee will be a first for an American city. Aaron Rannan has the story.
It's a traffic mess. New York City is facing a severe traffic crisis, with about 700,000 cars entering Lower Manhattan daily. But there may be relief coming soon in the form of a new policy that will charge most drivers up to $23 to enter this area. It's no surprise that New Yorkers and others have varied reactions to this upcoming change.
As I drive into the city every day, I already pay a toll for $19 coming from Jersey. So that'll be $42 to come in to work every single day. Who could afford that?
If this encourages public transportation and trying to be more climate impact friendly, I think that's where we should be thinking.
A lot of money to spend to come to Midtown. But I guess also there are other options, right? You can take the subway, you can take the bus. You can do other things to avoid that surcharge.
According to experts, the new congestion fees are expected to decrease traffic by about 20%. The revenue generated from these fees will be allocated towards improving public transportation infrastructure in the city. New York Governor Kathy Hochul believes that these new policies, when implemented, will not only enhance safety on the streets, but also play a crucial role in combating pollution.
And think about the pedestrians just trying to get around, the bicyclists, the delivery people. It is dangerous for them. But all this concentrated activity, the vehicles sitting there idling because they cannot move, and our buses that are not moving, it's also creating all this exhaust and emissions that our people are breathing.
According to New York Representative Richie Torres, the estimated $1 billion these congestion fees will generate annually for the New York Transportation Authority will significantly improve the lives of residents living in his district.
You know, I represent one of the poorest congressional districts in America, where my residents depend heavily on the public transit system. New York City is only as strong as its public transit system, and congestion pricing will save public transit for the next generation.
Even with this positive reaction inside New York City, the new pricing policy does not bode well for those from neighboring New Jersey.
I think the most important part to understand about congestion pricing is the impact that it has on New Jersey commuters financially. The problem with this tax is it discourages people from coming into New York at a time when New York should be encouraging them to come into New York. And so you hurt not only New Jerseyans, but New York businesses when you impose a tax like this. This is just a cash grab to let New Jersey commuters pay for New York infrastructure improvements.
While the United States is embarking on its first venture into congestion pricing, several major cities, including London, Stockholm, Milan, and Singapore have seen declines in automobile traffic after instituting similar congestion pricing. Research shows that in some of those cities, the car traffic decline was also accompanied by an increase in alternative transportation options such as subways and bicycles. Aaron Rainin for VOA News, New York City.
And that's going to wrap it up for us today. This has been International Edition on the Voice of America. On behalf of the entire production team, thanks for joining us. For pictures, stories, videos, and more, visit us online at voanews.com and follow VOA News on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next time, I'm Steve Karish in Washington. Stay safe and have a great day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States applauds the efforts of U.S. citizens and other volunteers to continue relocating and resettling Afghan partners in the United States. In particular, Secretary of State Antony Blinken recognized the progress the Afghan Evac Coalition has made through its partnership with the State Department. The Afghan Evac Coalition is an organization of thousands of volunteers, including veterans, Afghans living in the United States, and many U.S. citizens who have never even set foot in Afghanistan. The State Department's Bureau of South and Central Asian Affairs works closely with the Afghan Evac Coalition to help Afghans throughout the whole process of leaving Afghanistan and resettling in the United States. The Afghan Evac Coalition is a model for what public-private partnerships can be, said Secretary Blinken. It's because we worked together in common cause, in common enterprise, with community of purpose and community of action.
Thanks to the generosity of our fellow citizens, we've relocated more than 24,000 Afghans to the United States and third countries since September 2021. Overall, we have relocated more than 97,000 Afghans to the United States, Afghans who are going to school, who are starting new jobs, who are settling into their communities.
For all of the success that this cooperation has accomplished, this job is not yet done, said Secretary Blinken. To that end, the State Department introduced a Memorandum of Understanding to further the partnership with the Afghan Evac Coalition.
The Memorandum of Understanding that we will shortly sign will allow us to keep sharing information with one another, to coordinate our outreach to additional civil society partners, to guide our ongoing efforts to find more and better ways to serve our Afghan partners, both those already here and those yet to come, and keep pace with their evolving needs.
The hard work of the volunteers from the Afghan Evac Coalition, said Secretary Blinken, shows what America is when we're at our best, a compassionate country, full of big-hearted people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, but all ready to drop everything and work together. Work as one team to help other people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.